Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Anne-Marie Lockhart, and you are listening to Vox Poetica's 15 Minutes of Poetry. It is our first episode of 2013, so welcome to the new year. I want to wish you all the best for the year to come. I'm going to apologize straight up front for my voice, which is a little scratchy as, you know, the obligatory Christmas, New Year's illness recedes. So work with me. I'm doing the best I can. I hope that it doesn't sound too atrocious. On schedule for today is a man named Chet W. Sisk, and he is a life coach and an author. He is not yet with us, and I think there might have been a time zone issue mix-up. I do, and as you all know, I'm from New Jersey, and I do occasionally see the world as being very East Coast, New York, New Jersey-centric, and I think I neglected to communicate that this would be an Eastern time zone schedule. So if Mr. Sisk calls in, we will go to him and we'll pick up with the plan originally in place. And if not, then I'll talk to you for a while and we'll reschedule him at a different point in time. So it's something to look forward to either way. Now, there's a lot going on in the world of poetry right now, my immediate world of poetry, which I'd like to discuss with you. Vox Poetica rolls on into another year of exciting work. We have new things up all the time. If you haven't had a chance yet to look at the Pushcart Prize nominees from Vox and from Unbound Content for last year, I urge you to do that. Go to voxpoetica.com, go to the poem blog, and just scroll back. It's not that far back, really. It was just a few weeks ago that I announced those, and it has links to each of those poems. You can also go to unboundcontent.com, go to the book blog, and you will see the announcement for the nominees there as well. I think they're very high quality. I'm very proud, once again, of the work I'm able to nominate. It is extraordinarily difficult to select pieces. There are so many good ones, and I read so much over the course of the year. You know, I think for Vox, it's in the range of narrowing down somewhere around 500 poems, you know, to six, which is really hard to do. So I always have a short list, which includes as many wonderful pieces as I have room for, and it's not that short. And, you know, every one of those pieces is extraordinary. So it's hard work. I like doing it. I feel good about it when it's done. I just feel like it represents very well what we do at Vox and at Unbound. Now, the thing that was cool this year was we had a number of books that I felt were very important released at Unbound Content this year. And I would just like to take a minute to talk a little bit about them. I don't want to talk too much about it, but I do think it's always good to remind people. Cassie Primo Steele, The Pomegranate Papers, her second full-length poetry collection, which really was, is a masterpiece of exploration of womanhood. And based in the Persephone and Demeter myth, it explores the relationship between women and maternity, but it extends it out beyond just the female perspective. So it's a great book of poems about life in general, about love in particular, about our relationship with ourselves, very multidimensional. I think it's an important work. Another book that came out this past year, Salty In by Alice Shapiro. What made that great? Well, it's an exploration of editing. And I'm an editor, so I think that's always wonderful. But what made this particular editing book amazing is it was a collaborative, and there were about 40 people involved in the editing of this book on an individual poem-by-poem basis. And you can see the arc, as it were, of completion for each of those poems, as the original is in there, the critique by an editor is in there, and the final piece is in there. It actually goes backwards. So the first thing you read when you read the book is Alice's final product. And then there's an appendix that includes the original poems and the editorial suggestions. And that also includes an amazing thing in and of itself, which is a bunch of responsive writing that some of the editors contributed as they went through the process. So there are photographs, there's visual art, there's written poetry that was written in response to the original poem by Alice. It's a great work, and it's been used in the classroom setting. I've always seen it as the kind of thing that would be a wonderful piece to bring into a classroom, because it shows that for every poem there are 1,000 ways to interpret it, and it does a beautiful job of bringing individual voices to the front and to present the concept of perspective in editing. So I highly recommend that. I feel, again, like that was just an important book last year. Another book of importance that came out last year is A Strange Frenzy by Dom Gabrielli. What made it important? It is Unbound Content's first chapbook, so that alone makes it very important, in my opinion. What else makes it important is it's about Rumi, and Rumi is kind of universally awesome, and it's responsive work. Again, I'm a huge fan of collaboration, ekphrasis, responsive writing, you know, all those things. And this is a collection of, it's a very small collection of 17 poems written in response to 17 quotes by Rumi. Very creative, very evocative, very transporting. I think anyone who reads it will go back to it many, many times to take a different look at it. There was a first book by Maxwell Baumbach at age 20, which is a wonderful piece of writing by a young writer. And on the other end of that spectrum, a book called Elegy, which is a posthumous collection by Raffaella Willington that had a very long cycle from start to finish. And it's a beautiful work that includes her poems and her sketches. And it is it's just a wonderful musing on the subject of death, but not at all in a morbid kind of way. And then the last book I want to talk about, you know, and this is not to highlight or select other books over other books. The collection at Unbound Content is full of wonderful things that I think make a lot of people happy in a lot of different ways. But Painting Czesława Kłoka, which I'm saying wrong because I can never get the Polish pronunciation of that, but Honoring Children of the Holocaust, the book by Teresa Sonato Edwards and Laurie Schreiner, is arguably the most important book Unbound Content has published to date. Why is that? Because it is a collaboration of art and poetry, and it is one that's imbued with many layers of meaning. Most importantly, I think what it does is it shines a light on some names and faces and lives that have been lost to the collective, children that died in the Holocaust, the pictures that survived their lives inspired the art and then the poems that make up this book. It's a very moving book. It has the power when it is presented to engage a room like almost no other work I've witnessed. When Teresa and Lori are in a room reading the poetry in the presence of their paintings, what you feel in that space is the presence of the children themselves. And one of the things that they do in the book is to dimensionalize those children in a way that, you know, only poetry really can do, I guess. The paintings also do that by reinterpreting the visual images that were left behind in the photographs. It's heartbreaking, it's tragic, but it's also sanctifying, and it also is restorative. I've been in the room when they've read and spoken to, you know, when they engage with these paintings and the words, that they're almost physically present. And I think everyone feels that, and I think it's salvatory. So I would urge you to look at those books. And then I would also urge you to look at everything else on the shelf. And then I would also urge you to get ready for a bunch of new stuff coming out this year, which is also exciting. and amazing and wonderful. And it's going to be the year that we introduce iBooks. It's a year in which we're going to release more chapbooks. It's a year in which we're going to see additional full collection manuscripts come to bear as well. And I don't want to tell you too much about those things because I want them to be revealed in their own time. But I can tell you this. Get ready because it's going to be a lot of fun. Now, another thing to get ready for. I will be in January, the 17th through the 20th are the official dates, at the International Poetry Festival in Bridgewater, Virginia. This is hosted at Bridgewater College. And the man at the helm of this venture is Professor Stan Galloway. You're all familiar with his work. By the way, he has a book coming out this year at Unbound, just to keep you thinking about his poetry for a little while. So we're going to be there. A lot of Vox writers will be there. A lot of other people from all over the world are going to be there. And I'm very much looking forward to that event. Unbound Content will have a presence there. And 15 Minutes of Poetry is going to be broadcast live from there. I think that's going to be a live recording. We've done that before. Actually, the first place I ever did that was at another conference at Bridgewater 2 years ago. So it'll be fun to do that again. So keep an eye out, an ear out for events from that. If you cannot be there, then be there by listening in on the radio and looking for updates on Facebook or on the sites themselves. If you want information about the festival, it is, like I said, in Bridgewater, Virginia, and it is, you can go to this link, people.bridgewater.edu /SGALLOWA/BIPF2013.htm. I know that's very confusing. You can also go to my Facebook page and find a link to that there. It's more information about the festival. You can also contact Stan Galloway via Facebook, and he can get you that too. So that's coming up. I will be at other events during the year, and I will let you know what those are, and hopefully a lot of cool things will grow out of those events. Another thing I would like to point your attention to is, you know, in this very crazy world of technology, and it changes all the time and things are new and different, I have decided to take up a Tumblr. So you can find me at aelockhart.tumblr.com, and the Tumblr is called Lorem Ipsum, which, as you know, in the printing publishing world is placeholder text, and I'm viewing this as a place to write about things or post things that occur to me in between visits with my muse. I'm just going to read a very quick thing that's posted there now. It's called January Jade. The only thing to love about January is the still imperceptible minute-by-minute tide pull back to long days, easing light, and leavened living. And that's called January Jade, and I think it definitely sums up my feeling about January, and I guess it speaks for other people too. hold on, because I have with me now, just joining me, is, I believe, Chet Sisk. So hold on a second. Hello.
Hello. This is
Chet. Chet, how are you?
I am fine, and please forgive me. I got caught up into a really, really goofy situation this morning. I'm so sorry, Anne-Marie. But
no
worries. I'm here, and I hope you still have a couple of minutes for me.
We do have a couple of minutes, and I would love for you to talk to us a bit about your new work. It sounds so amazing and interesting to me. You know, when you presented it to me as this collection of data that you found, you researched and kind of compounded, and the method you're using to share it, which is poetry, spoken word, music. Tell me where this started, please.
Sure, absolutely. I have a few books out, and the whole project started about a year and a half ago when I started looking around, and everybody was talking about the Mayan calendar and December 21st, 2012, And the,
right.
By the way, just to, for clarity, I'm sure you know this, but just in case your audience may not know, the Mayans never said that there was going to be the end of the world at on December 21st, 2012. That's a Western myth that was created. So I decided I wanted to find out about what the Mayans did call for at the on December 21st, and what they said was that one cycle would end and another would begin. And then I started looking and saying to myself, if that's the case, then that means we should see some evidence of a transition that's happening now,
mm-hmm.
right? There should be plenty mm-hmm. of evidence to show that we're probably, you know, like the early adapters, just some early movement in that direction. So I decided that I was going to make my next book about whether that evidence existed or didn't, one way or another. So after I started reading around, excuse me, I started looking around and I started seeing evidence that we truly are in transition, great transition. It's, you're not going to hear about it on Fox News or CNN or any of the major media outlets. They just, they, of course, you know, as a former television reporter, I can tell you that the only things that really made sense for us was to scare the hell out of everybody by talking,
mm-hmm, right.
creating some level of fear. So all these other things were going on all around the world, and I said, wow, there's transition happening, and we're not even paying attention to it. So I decided to write a book about this transition, and then I decided also that it would be kind of cool to create these audio versions of these new developments that are happening all around the world. Excuse me. And I have been known to do some spoken word from time to time at a local poetry, slam poetry event. It happens every Monday night here in Denver called Slam Nuba. And we have a great time. And if I ever get a chance to, I dare myself to go out and read some poetry. And I always like the combination of poetry or spoken word and music. And so I decided that I was going to make this book a version of this book through spoken word and music, and so it would be like the book but in a really small kind of condensed version through spoken word and music, so that you get the same information that would be in the book but now with my voice and some music behind it. And it turned out pretty good. It was just kind of a creative thought. I felt creative and thought that this might be kind of cool. And it's gotten some really great reviews. People enjoy the music and the spoken word. And even more, it's part of my fundraising event to get natural and organic foods into homeless shelters all around the country. And that's how the project emerged.
That tie-in is really interesting in light of the trend concept of what's changing and for the better, and being able to actually explore that thematically, poetically, and also then putting things into practice mm-hmm. along that same line is a really nice way to tie it all together. Are you prepared? Can you read us something from the book, something short?
Oh my gosh! You would think I would be prepared for that, and I have to tell you that I am embarrassed to say I am not quite.
We can plan for that in another. We'll schedule to bring you back for a full episode, and when we do that, then you can share with us the experience of the work itself. That way, that will be fine too.
I would greatly appreciate that, and I mean it. I sat back. To tell you the truth, the reason why I even delayed this morning was because I was at the doctor's. I'm suffering from pneumonia. And
oh,
so
no.
I know. Isn't that terrible? But
it's terrible.
So I know, but it's finally starting to clear up a little bit, but It's terrible. I've never had that before, so it's been a bit of a surprise. So,
it's a setback. You have to rethink your activity level for a while.
That's
it's not fun.
I've been told that, it's been a wild series of activities over the past month since the 2012 thing
yeah.
really started jumping
yeah.
off, and people were, you know, we were doing interviews like every few hours for a couple of weeks there. Because people say, oh, the world's going to end, the world's going to end. And all of a sudden I became an expert. But it was not an expert on whether or not the world was going to end, but rather, again, that there are just so much evidence that we've been changing, and changing rather dramatically, really since about like the 1700 to about 1950 has been the most horrible period in recorded human history. With bloodshed and horrible things. And then all of a sudden you start noticing right around 1970, really, a shift. And then that's what the book and the spoken word is about, is that you start to see a different kind of way that we see ourselves. And a lot of people are very distressed by that because they're used to that bloody, terrible, separatist kind of way of living. So they see anything other than that as being an affront to their existence. So there's been pushback, but you can't stop change. It just you either embrace it or you struggle up river. And it's a beautiful thing.
When you were doing your research for it, what kinds of things? What is the thing that surprised you most, and what you discovered along the way?
Wow, just the sheer tsunami of data that says we have changed. One of the things that most people don't realize, I know that particularly the conservatives, and I don't mean to pick on any particular political group or anything, but, you know, there's always been this conversation that, oh, we live in a more dangerous and deadlier world than ever before, and that simply is not true. Crime is at its all-time low, not just here in the United States, but all around the world. We have fewer armed conflicts now than at any time in the history of humanity. Now, that's not saying a whole lot, considering that we came out of, World War I, World War II, the millions upon millions that were killed, slave trade, exploitation, Holocaust. I mean, people don't realize how bloody, horribly bloody and brutal our history was. So we've come from a very low mark. But it has changed. This is in all of recorded history, there's never been a more peaceful time to actually be alive. There are changes as far as there's this great feminine principle that's emerging. As much as you see the stuff going on with the Taliban and people trying to squash women's rights, this is the first time in the history of humanity that there are more women in the world than men. There are more women in power, as far as management concerned, is more than men in the world. Believe it or not, people will say, well, no, we see a lot of men controlling things. Yes, but women are the middle managers, and they are moving up. I mean, there is a feminine principle that's emerging. Just basic overall things that you would never have thought about are now happening in the world. So it's just a sheer tsunami of things that you start to recognize. There's a pushback against GMOs. There's a food consciousness movement. Everybody's talking about sustainability and how to make it an egalitarian future and to do things for other people. The sharing movement is huge. The social entrepreneurship movement is huge. I mean, it's just all of these things. You know, separately they may say one thing, but collectively they say about a world that we used to like dream about. It's now starting to actually happen. So the Mayans were right. They may have given us this arbitrary date of the 21st, but there is a cycle that is emerging, a new cycle that has emerged. And it's a different kind of world. And I think we may see a more fulling of that flower, or fulfilling of that flower, if you will, over the next 5 to 10 years, and then certainly 50 and 100 years into the future. But I think we're going to see it more radically initially. We're going to see things that we may never have thought of before. Isn't that amazing?
You know, it is amazing. And one of the things that I really relate to artistically is collaboration, and it's one of the things I promote as often as I can. And I know that in this work you collaborated with musicians particularly. Would you talk a little bit about that in like a very brief time that we have left?
Absolutely, yes. I have some wonderful musician friends. I actually used to be a musician, a doubly flat French hornist. That's what I wanted to be when I grew up. And
oh, wow.
Then I just, yeah, and that's something. And then I played in some bands, and I have a number of music friends. And if you go to YouTube, you could even see me doing a kind of a collaboration with a band called Future Jazz Project, where I read from my third book, and they were playing too on stage at a fundraising event. And then we said, let's try to create something else like this. So that's what this project is about. It's me working with those very same musicians independently, and with them singing and playing in the background, and me just reading excerpts from the book. We just thought this is a great time to be able to get music and information out, so that it's a beautiful thing. People can receive it even more beautifully when they hear that music, and hopefully the words of soothing words of peace and prosperity and possibilities.
Yeah, anytime you make it a multi-sensory experience, people are just able to receive the message just so much better. It takes on a whole different level when you can hear it, see it, you know, listen to it, touch it. In the case of certain types of art, you know, it just adds to it so much.
Yeah, and let me just say that I think that that is going to be the way going forward, music used to be regulated into these nice little categories. Now we're going to see more of a blending. That's another one of the trends that I started, ran into too, that there's this blending where music and art form and data, if you will, become more one. They're no longer separate entities. They are now a part of the message. Everything is connected to the message. And that it's so funny, because in the old world, we would separate music and say, oh, that's art in that category. But now we're starting to say that the music and the message are all the same. They have to be the same.
Yeah, I like that concept quite a bit. We're totally out of time, but we're going to schedule to bring you back, and you're going to be feeling so much better by then, and you're going to be able to share the actual experience of the art with us, and I'm really looking forward to that. And I want to thank you for joining us, you know, with Maya. And I hope you feel better soon, Chet. My God.
I thank you. I appreciate it. And I would encourage anybody, if you have a moment, leadtheshift.com is where we have the music. The music download is free. So get the music and get the combination, the music where the music and the spoken word come together. And some great artists doing some fabulous work. You'll love these musicians. They're great.
So that's leadtheshift.com, and that's where you can find information on this particular project by Chet and his musician friends. That's all we have for today, but tune in again. We're going to have him back here to talk about this and to go into more depth about it. So, again, thank you. Feel better. Please get well and rejoin us in the near future. Thanks, Chet.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Have a great day, everybody, and we will be setting up another show soon, so stay tuned. Have a wonderful rest of the day.